Blog Talk Radio.
We have raised a thousand voices just to lift your holy name, and we will raise thousands more to sing of your beauty in this place. When none can even fathom, no, not one define your worth, as we marvel in your presence to the ends of the earth.
To the Lord, the earth and all who live on it are his.
He built it on a deep waters beneath the earth and laid its foundations in the ocean depth. Who has the right to go up the Lord's hill? Who may enter his holy temple? Those are pure in act and in thought, who do not worship idols or make false promises. The Lord will bless them and save them. God will declare them innocent. Such are the people who came to God, who comes into the presence of the God of Jacob. Fling wide the gates, open the ancient doors, and the great king will come in. Who is the great king? He is the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord victorious in the battle. Fling wide the gates, open the ancient doors, and the great king will come in. Who is the great king? The triumphant Lord. He is the great king. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we're going to get into this right quick. And he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ that has created all of creation, all the world, the land and the ocean deep. He's created it all. He didn't say, well, he just created the Israelites and the Christians and, you know, the rest of it, some other people. He didn't say that. He said God has created everything. Plus he says God is the light of the world. God is the light of the world. And he says that in the Bible too. And it can go very deep there. Now, Robert, what do you get from this?
Well, one of the things that I know about the Old Testament that we need to focus on deeply is that the Old Testament is type and shadow of things to come. And you just mentioned, Stan, that this scripture, this song of David is talking about our Messiah and what the Messiah would do. The type and shadow here is that Jesus, the King of Kings, came and Jesus defeated the enemy. Jesus opened up every door for you and I to be able to go straight into the presence of our Father. Jesus overcame the wicked one. He defeated Satan. He defeated the demonic spirits. He defeated wicked spirits in heavy places. He opened the door for you and I to walk in total victory, to be more than conquerors in Him. And you know, the verse 3 and 4 is basically talking who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord. Well, Jesus ascended into that hill, but Jesus not just ascended in there and he's the only one can go. Because of his victory, we all, his disciples, can go too. Just related to Peter walking on the water when Peter said, "Can if that be you, Lord, bid me come." And Jesus said, come on out here where I am and walk on the water with me, Peter. Come on.
Amen.
That's what Jesus did. Jesus opened the door. By faith, we too can ascend into the hill of the Lord. We can stand in the holy place because he has cleaned up our hands and he has given us a pure heart. And we can now lift up our hearts and our lives and receive the blessing in verse 5, the blessing from the Lord. Father has empowered us by the blessing. He spoke the same blessing in Adam's life, Genesis chapter 1. He spoke the same blessing in Noah's life, and then in Abram's life. And he's speaking that same blessing into our lives because of what Jesus did, the type and shadow. He opened the door for all of us to be able to do what this song is saying.
Hey, Robert, can I cut in right there? Because this is going right. Okay, what was on my heart to share was that scripture you just read, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord and who may stand in his holy place. And why it was on my heart was because I want to share this testimony because over the summer, it was right at the end of June, like I went to this meeting. And I was really questioning whether or not I should go because I was wearing like gym clothes and a tank top and all this stuff. And my mother-in-law was like kind of staying with us and helping me out with my kids because my wife was out of town. But anyway, so I asked the Lord if I should go. I was like, God, should I go? And I just felt like he said, yeah, go ahead, you know. So I went ahead to the meeting and I was, you know, I put on a little sweat jacket or whatever because I felt like it was dressed inappropriate. But anyway, when I got there, I was just like real hungry, and I was like, man, I'm ready to cut loose with the juice, you know, and just really experience God or whatever. Well, mm-hmm. when I got there, I remember thinking, God, he told me to be myself. And I was like, wow, you know, if I'm going to be myself, I would probably be laying on my back at home if I was, like, just being myself. So I laid down in the floor during worship and was just, like, just really focused on him. Well,
yeah.
when I did that, and this is where this scripture comes into play, like, right before me, I saw this vision of, like, Jesus from, like, the torso up. And as
uh-huh.
I was seeing this vision of Jesus, like, it's weird. It's like the words of knowledge and prophecy and stuff like that kind of work together. And it's like you know that the Godhead is before you. But,
uh-huh.
like, I was seeing the Jesus, and he asked me, he said, am I enough for you? You know, because I'm hungry for, like, all this stuff, you know. And I was like, yeah, you are. And right when he asked me that, like, I felt it, like, just relaxation come over me, because, like, I was just like, wow, I'd gotten kind of tense about some of that stuff. Well, anyway, like, as he said that, it was weird, man. I felt like this thing submerged through my face, and I don't know how to explain it because it was spiritual, but it felt like it went straight through my face. And I realized what was going on was, you know, we serve an invisible God, and you can have, like, face-to-face encounters with the Lord, and, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes you'll be seeing in vision form, or you'll be seeing, like, I mean, you can see into the Spirit, but this particular time, I felt like it was visions, and it was like, but the Spirit of God, like, the power of God hit me, and it come down through my face, and I got so electrified under, like, the power of God that I was just,
yeah.
like, I was grunting and moaning, and it was weird because, like, it was very intense. Like, your body, it's pretty
yeah.
intense on your body. But anyway, as I was, like, talking to the Lord, I seen Moses going up the mountain, you know, I was like, yeah. wow. And I felt like he's calling me, and I know he's calling everybody to a higher place with him. But that scripture, that who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, you know, like that, like I remember thinking about that. And I remember
mm-hmm.
seeing Moses going up and like him telling me, you know, I'm calling you to more. If you want to come after it, come and get it, you know. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
anyway, it was just really cool because, man, like the power of God come on me. And I was like sitting there, I was like, Lord, I was like, I don't want to be, like, greedy. I mean, because I'm telling you, man, I was so, like, just bombarded with the voltage of heaven. And I was like, God,
uh-huh.
I was like, what should I do, you know? I mean, should I get up and pray for people? Or, you know, what should I do? And I remember seeing this Nike swoosh. And I was like, what does that mean? You know, because, like, I kind of talk to them through my mind and what I see in the realm of my heart and what I see on the inside. I don't know how to explain that, but I seen a Nike swoosh, and he's like, just do it. And I was like, got up and started. Well, when I stood up, like, I started getting leadings to pray for certain people. And then, so I did, and there was several where, when I touched them immediately, like, the power of God started hitting them and stuff. But then I said, man, I'm praying for everybody, you know? And I mean, like, under that power and that glory being on me, I pray for everybody in there,
uh-huh.
and some
uh-huh.
like a lot of them twice. But it was so cool because I was questioning, God, should I been like praying for everybody, or should I just
uh-huh.
been praying for the ones that I was getting real direct leading towards? But
uh-huh.
like I realized that he started speaking to me about faith, and he was like. When you're in faith, you're going to grow. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if you miss it a little bit. He said, you're
uh-huh.
going to grow, and he's going to honor your faith because you're in faith and you're in him doing it. And
uh-huh.
I thought that was really cool. But I don't want to, like, take up too much of the time. Y'all go ahead and chime in.
No, that was good. That was good. That was good.
That's like, awesome.
That was,
go ahead.
One thing I was going to say about that, though, is I thought that was so awesome because I felt like, wow, man, I felt like that I was involved in revival at that moment. Like that was the closest thing that I've really experienced to revival as far as my own life, where it was really affecting other people in a mighty way, you know. And I mean, that makes you feel so good, man, because you're just going after them and you want people to experience the Lord like you do, you know. But
I was going to tell everybody that's listening to the show, if you're listening live, this show may end in, it's like a 45-minute show, and if it does cut off before we get done, the whole show will be recorded on the in the archives, so you can listen to the whole full thing in the archives, because we do go a little bit over on this show, and people get kind of disappointed when we go over. But you can listen to the full show on the archives. And I just want to encourage everybody, just go, if you didn't hear the rest of it, just go to the archives and listen to the rest of it. It will be right there, I promise everybody. But I'm going to go ahead and jump in here real quick, and then Robert can hit. But, you know, it's talking about God is a God of everything. And sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our minds around, you know, being a God of everything, no matter what it is. And a lot of people think, you know, well, God ain't the God of the devil. He has nothing to do with the devil. He don't have nothing to do with this. He don't have nothing to do with that. But where did everything first come from? It all came from one being. It all came from Jehovah Rapha. It all came from him. That's where everything, the follow of life, everything came from him. No matter where it started, no matter where it ended, it all started from him, no matter what it is. So we've got to think of this. We've got to think he's the father of all life, all existence, all seeing all. He's the father of everything. No matter how you put it or what it boils down to, he's the father of it all. Okay? He created all the foundations of the earth. He created everything you see. Everything is in him, no matter if it's out of balance or in balance. It is all there, no matter what. Okay? Now, how far we get close to him is up to us. How far we want to get up to the main man created everything is up to us, and how far away we want to get away from him is up to us too. That's why he gave each of us free will to get close or get further away. Okay. So the Father of Light, not the movie Father of Lights, he's the Father of Light of everything. Okay. I've got two stories that I had a lot of my friends from way back told me some encounters that they had about seeing everything of light. I didn't tell these guys this, but anyway, had a friend of mine. She was speaking to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was trying to show her that everything was light, okay? She didn't believe it. She thought it was all crap, that everything was light. We're all physical. We're all this and, you know, all this and that. And then he took it a little bit weird by it on her. He pulled her out of her body and stuck her into an app with where it gets real weird. Okay, as you know, apple don't have eyes. It just has senses all around it. It just has senses. And she looked through the senses. She didn't walk around or talk or anything. She was just an apple sitting there as an object. She saw everything as light. Everything was light. Even her child that was in the room that she didn't know her mama was out cold, but she was sitting there. And she saw everything light. And then her daughter walked up to her, picked up her as an apple and bit into her. She's like, oh, man. She's going to kill me when she bites into me. But when she bit into her, she felt love. She felt light touching light, like love touching love. And when she bit into it, she was really, really, this gets weird, but anyway, she was really enjoying her partaking in her, okay? It was light touching light, okay? And then she got thrown in her body, and then she saw everything as we do every day. So what was basically shown is everything is light. Everything has some light in it, but it depends on how we partake it, how we change the channel. If we see everything as, you know, everything is terrible and sinful, and we, it's like our, like I was telling Robert, you know, like if we watch the same TV channel for 20 years, and that thing has always been boring and it's always been like that, as long as we know it, we keep on watching it, that show that we see is always going to remain the same. It's all going to be polluting how we see things constantly. We keep on. Now, if we change that channel to something real good, like a gospel channel or something, then we start seeing more positive things, and then we change how we see things. But our whole world exists by how we project that light. When God touches us through his word, he projects the way we see things in the light of him, how he really projected things. He didn't create things evil. He had no idea to create things evil. He didn't. But through the sin of man and the way we start seeing things, like when we was deceived from Adam and Eve, when we got deceived by the enemy, he changed how we saw things. We didn't see ourselves as daughters and sons of God. He completely changed how we saw ourselves. He had us to deny who we really was. You ain't him. You ain't this apple. You'll see things just like God does. They've already seen things the way God did, but they didn't believe it. He changed their mind. So when he was seeing things as light and changed their mind and polluted how they saw things, they changed their complete point of view of how they were seeing the world. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's what put the sunglasses over our eyes. That was the sunglasses put over our eyes. When we walk around the world, we see everything polluted, you know, sin's everywhere. But Jesus had to come into this world to take those sunglasses off, where we can see how God really created things. If you see somebody that's walking in the true presence of the Lord, their sunglasses are took off, and they see love. They see things and everything like the Lord did. The Lord didn't walk around and say, well, I'm walking around these sinners today. Look how crappy they are. You know, he loved them. He couldn't see the hate in them. He saw the love in them. And when he saw the love in them, they transformed into that love that he saw in them.
Mm-hmm.
When you see the life, when you see what truly is there, it transforms that being. It transforms that person. Now, if you only see darkness, you always see darkness in everything. When you look in the person, you're going to see that darkness, and it's going to make that person worse. So when you walk in Christ, walk in the spirit of Christ, you start transforming things. It's like the light reacts to what you're going with. And the important thing about accepting Christ, he changes your whole point of view. He changes you into light the way he is. He's the pure light. We want the pure light, not the dim light that the enemy started back in Adam and Eve. We want to take him sunglasses on and turn on the pure light and see everybody into that light of love. And that's the whole point I'm trying to get here is God created things, everything beautiful and in love and in pure light. We want to see people in that. We want to see our brothers and sisters in pure light, not how the enemy try to manipulate us and try to mess up the whole ball game for God. We want to see everything in true love and light, the way God meant it. Go ahead, Robert.
Amen, Stan. Amen. That's exactly what that chapter is talking about. The King of Kings came here to the earth. The King of Kings came to restore what the first Son of God messed up. The King of Kings came here, and his life and victory caused you and I to be kings just as he is king. That's why we call him King of Kings. And what we've got to look at is the kingdom that Father has established here on earth when he created the earth and he put his son here on the earth. That kingdom was an extension from heaven, from the throne, here to this physical earth. And he put his physical son here to rule and reign. Every king must have a territory to rule over. That's what Father did. Father created the world, the earth, and he put all these wonderful things here on the earth for his people. He established a territory, the kingdom, for his king to rule over. Adam was created to be a co-regent or a partner with the Father in direct connection with the Father by the Spirit, ruling and reigning over all things physical. Well, when Adam lost that, he promised that he would send a seed born of the woman who would repair what Adam destroyed or messed up in the garden. Well, the king who came and completely restored the kingdom of heaven in the earth. Jesus came preaching what? Jesus came preaching the kingdom. Everywhere he went, Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, repent ye and what? Come to the kingdom. Pursue the kingdom. Repent and I'm going to turn there right quick and read it the way it's written. Jesus said, Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus came here and told everybody, okay, you're going to have to change the way you've been thinking. The way you've been thinking about the Father, it's not been right. The way that you've been thinking that he's a tyrant, that he's out to get you, he wants to pop you in the head if you make a mistake, that's not right. The word repent means to take a 180-degree turn in the way you think. Start thinking different. Jesus is saying, think differently about the Father. I'm going to give you a new way to think about the Father and his kingdom. Father established this world, this earth, for us to rule and to reign as kings of his hands, the works of his hands. He established this place so that he could see himself, his reflection, ruling and reigning as he does in his heavenly spiritual kingdom, but here on a physical earthly kingdom. That's what that psalm is talking about. Jesus made that possible. He ascended. He did the thing that was necessary to give all humanity access once again to the plan and the will of the Father. And through him, we have total access and restoration. We are returning to the light that you're just talking about. We are walking towards that light that we came out of to walk the path that he has laid for us is to journey back to our origin, to always pursue the light, walk the narrow and straight path. It is to walk back into the presence of our Father. He is pure light. He is pure love. And he is longing for his people to relate and to fellowship with him and to do as he does and to speak as he speaks, just like Jesus did. Jesus really, he took care of all humanity. His obedience has given all humanity total access to the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. I think about that scripture, and too, when like I was seeing that vision of Jesus, I thought about that scripture that's 2 Colossians 2:9, where it says, "For in him dwells," talking about Jesus now, "for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." And then you drop down to 13, and it talks about like that. It says that, "And you being dead to your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses and having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed them to the cross." That is amazing, man.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That says it. Praise him. That's hallelujah.
Awesome.
That's it.
Wow. Hey, another scripture that stands out really strong in Psalm 24 is this, and it's pretty cool because the way the Lord gave it to me was, this scripture is 24/7, right? It's Psalm 24/7, and that's what I'm talking about, is God, worshiping God and walking with God 24/7. That was just really awesome that he gave it.
Yes.
And he said, like, "Lift up your heads, O you gates." So that's like, you are that access point. You, in
Come
Christ
on.
Jesus, you are that access point. And the fact that you're lifting up your heads, so that's a place of faith. That's a place of being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It says, "Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." And the King of glory is always one to be with you, to encounter you, you delight in him and him delight in you. He loves that intimate fellowship, and he loves he created you just to walk with him, to talk with him.
Yes.
I mean, so many people make it about, like, anything that it's, I mean, anything away from that really is just like a, I mean, you got your eyes off the true meaning of why you're made, because he just really wants to delight in you and fellowship
uh-huh.
with you. And I mean, he really loves you. And that's why
uh-huh.
he made us, was to walk with him and to love him and let him and be loved by him. It's more being loved by him thing, because
uh-huh.
that's what draws you to the repentance, is the love of God. You
Amen.
Know, it turns you away from wickedness. And I mean,
uh-huh.
when you experience him, man, it is just the most amazing thing in the world. And the cool thing about it is we have eternity
uh-huh.
with him. So it just
mm-hmm.
keeps getting better and better and better and better and better.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That is awesome.
Amen.
Amen. That's good stuff.
That's awesome, man. I mean, it's never-ending love that he has for us, and it's hard for, you know, the everyday man to comprehend that until they get into the presence of the Lord and really build that relationship with him. Then they understand how he really is and who he really is. That's very
mm-hmm.
important. That's like we say on this show all the time, is build a relationship up with him. Learn
yes.
him. You know,
yes.
fall in love with him. And love just spews off of him. It's just what he is. He's walking love. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people try to put this bad name on the Lord, like the finger pointer and you're going to hell and all this stuff. But, you know, is Kylie, I mean, if he was this sort of person, why would he hang out with sinners? Why would he go to the ranks of Jerusalem and Israel and hang out with all the prostitutes and hang out with all the thieves and hang out with all the fishermen? That'd be the worst place for somebody like that to go, was a finger pointer, because he
mm-hmm.
could pull a lot of fingers at all those people. And if
mm-hmm.
he had a walk, if he had to walk a very tight rope, he had to walk a very tight rope to go to heaven. Why would you pick those people? Because
mm-hmm.
it would be impossible for them guys to even think about getting into the gates of heaven. It would
mm-hmm.
be impossible, because once you would teach them something, they would go back to their old ways soon as you snapped your fingers. So it would
mm-hmm.
be useless for him to talk to these type of people. But he did. He talked to these type of people. He loved these people. He showed them the way. And he knew
mm-hmm.
that they would fall without him. He had
mm-hmm.
to be with them at all times to transform them. He had to transform
uh-huh.
them himself. There wasn't no way they could do it. It was
uh-huh.
impossible. Even the Pharisees couldn't do it. They had all these laws programmed in their brain, how to walk this talk. But when a
uh-huh.
woman walked by, they'd be thinking, oh, look how pretty, in their mind, knowing that they're sinning. Jesus was pointing out that they were sinning when they was thinking this stuff. And then the outskirts, everything looked perfect. They was walking this perfect little walk. They was bringing their burnt offerings at a certain time. You know, paying their tithes, paying their taxes, and doing everything just right. But internally, they was like a rotten garbage bag. And
mm-hmm.
he could see that plain as day. He knew that they was no better than the prostitutes and the thieves and the fishermen over. They was no better, just on the outside they looked better.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't want to keep interrupting. Hey, another thing that I was just thinking about here is, too, like the Old Testament is Christ concealed. The New Testament is Christ revealed.
Christ revealed.
And also, the Old Testament, they didn't have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of them. I mean, a few did, like the prophets and the kings and the priests, and some of those were anointed of the Lord and had the anointing inside of them and stuff, but the thing about the New Testament is the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of you. But the cool thing about this is like those open your gates, all your doors, and lift up your heads and your gates be lifted up. The cool thing about it is there is a Christ in you, and there's a Christ that can come on you, or the God that will come and descend upon you. And that's like his glory coming down and invading earth. That's like when heaven invades earth, you know, and it's like I think about that scripture that says that
mm-hmm.
you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can think or imagine according to the power
that worketh
in
you, Ephesians 3:20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it can come out of you, like out of
mm-hmm.
your heart, because like there's that verse that says he has made his abode in you, in your heart,
uh-huh.
like through the Holy
come
Spirit, the Father and the Son live inside of your heart. So it's like
come
he
on.
Can come up out of you. And a lot of times when you're in prayer and stuff, just looking within, looking to the Lord, just concentrating on the Lord's presence and stuff like that, he'll speak from within, and that's more more the way he speaks to you than anything in those little impressions and unctions. But when you start being faithful in the obedience to those things that he's given you, like those things, it begins to open up in bigger, you'll experience them in bigger ways, and you'll see him like in, he'll start to speak to you in different ways because he's seeing I think about Jesus, like it says that I'm trying to think of that scripture that, the things that he suffered and stuff, he learned her obedience. And, I mean, just looking within and looking to the Father. And anyway, I got a little clouded there. But anyway, like the more you look to him and the more you're obedient to him, the more that he just pours it out. It says the obedient will eat the good of the land, will eat the fat of the land. The willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. And, I mean, it's just everywhere you look, you're promised prosperity. And if you don't believe it, that's fine. You probably never get a hold of it because you're not in faith. But well, your faith has a lot to it. And the Lord grows that day. So, I mean, even if you're having hard times and struggling believing things, it's like just get in the Word, man, because the Word of God comes by hearing and hearing of the Word. So it's like that faith will grow, the faith in you will grow. And God, I mean, when his faith comes upon you and you're able to believe for things way beyond anything that you can imagine, it's because you're connecting faith with faith, you know, and his faith will start taking over and rising out of you. And just like, I mean, you'll be supercharged, you know, to just believe for the impossible. And so many people they don't understand the discipline of their mind. And it's funny because you hear people say stuff like about being brainwashed and all that. And I mean, really the water of the Word washes you. So God brainwash me is what I'm saying.
Amen.
I kind of got on a little roll there.
Amen. Well, brother, what you just said, you know, it coincides with what I was saying about what Jesus did, the total restoration. The King, what he did was totally restore us in the capacity to house the Holy Spirit. Those prophets that the Spirit came upon, the Spirit did not dwell in them and abide in them forever. The Spirit came upon them for a brief moment, for them to do what they needed to do in obedience to the Lord, and then the Spirit departed from them because they were spiritually dead men and women. They could not house the presence of the living God. The moment Adam fell in the garden, the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and he became a spiritually dead man. So Father sent Jesus to fix that, and in Christ, because Christ received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he was without sin, he could house the presence of the living God without measure. The Spirit, or the glory, as it says in Psalms 24, where we were reading about the glory, the Lord of glory, the King of glory, Jesus housed the Holy Spirit without measure, making him King of glory. The glory is the presence of the Father manifesting within us. Jesus received the Holy Spirit without measure, and because we receive Jesus, our temple cleansed from him, his blood washing and awesome loving power has cleansed us and given us the capacity, John chapter 14, I will send the Comforter, and the Comforter will abide with you and dwell in you forever. He cleansed us up. He made us the mansions that are possible and capable of housing the Holy Spirit without measure. The Spirit will not depart from us. He comes upon us and he lives in us forever. And all the Old Testament prophets and prophetesses, everyone in the Old looked ahead and saw what was going to happen and desired to live in this day and this time because they couldn't have what we have access to through the King of Glory, his obedience.
Amen.
To be the sacrificial lamb of God to cleanse humanity, to deal with sin, to deal with the curse, to deal with the enemy. He broke his foot off in the devil's enemy. And what he did for us is to give us the power to connect with the Father and to fellowship with the Father one-on-one. We can go right into the throne room, jump up in his lap and
Amen.
Love on him because that's what he's wanting. And
praise
Jesus
the Lord.
Made all that possible. Come on. He made
Amen.
It all possible.
Amen.
He
Amen.
Is awesome.
Wow.
Amen. I like to get in right here, and I want to tell everybody, you know, you don't got to be perfect by any means. You just got to have the willingness to go to the Lord, to hand it all over to him and let him start transforming your life. And it doesn't matter. You don't got to be the Pope to be a Christian. You don't got to be the most perfect person because he was sent here for you, for the imperfect. He was sent here for the imperfect to make you perfect. Through his cross, he made you perfect. When you believe in him and you have him to come and live inside of you, he makes you perfect. And he starts transforming you. Now, I'm not going to tell you that all of a sudden you're going to like that. Sometimes it may be a process with you. You'll start seeing things change in you. But that's the process that the Holy Spirit will do you because he'll send the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to live with inside of you. And you'll start transforming. But there's so many people who've got this. It's my work that you've got to be a perfect person to be a Christian. That's impossible. You can't be a perfect person. Even the Pharisees weren't perfect. So if you want to accept Christ right now as your Lord and Savior, I want you just to say this prayer with us. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Yeah, Lord Jesus.
I welcome you into my heart.
I welcome you into my heart.
I repent of everything that I've ever done.
I repent of everything I've ever done.
And I hand it all to you.
I hand it all to you.
I believe that you died on the cross for me.
I believe that you died on the cross for me.
And I believe that you was risen the third day.
And I believe that you rose on the third day.
Come and live with me forever, Lord Jesus.
Come and live with me forever, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You just said, amen. Amen. If you just said that, the Lord Jesus just came to you. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come upon these people now in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, just hit them. Just feel them. Give them a revelation. Just let them know that you're in their presence, that you're working inside of them. I ask you just to fill their little belly, fill their belly with the Holy Spirit. Just fill them up. Fill them from head to toe right now. Just fill them up, fill them up, fill them up, fill them up, fill them up. Holy Spirit, just hit them. Hit them with your power. Hit them like a bombshell. Just slam on them right now in Jesus' name. Just fill them up, 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 fire, fill them up, 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 fire, 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 fill them up, fill them up, fill them up. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
keep,
amen.
Keep going. Keep going with the Lord. Don't stop. You know, don't stop
amen.
With salvation. Keep walking with him and talking with
keep
him
going.
And everything and believing he's there because if you believe he's there, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6, I think.
Amen.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. This is a great show tonight. Thank you guys for coming on the show.
Yeah,
and, we're gonna come back
Saturday morning around 10 a.m. We're going to come bring you another great show, and we'll have the topic online pretty soon. And just stay tuned to the Healing Light Show on Facebook. And by the way, just just click on like on the Healing Light Show on Facebook and follow the show. And anytime we put out new shows, it will go right to your email. And we'll see you Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thank you guys for coming on the show and being with me on the show, and Chris and Robert. Thank you for everything y'all do.
Great pleasure, man.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
We're going to go ahead. I'm going to play Lift Up My Hands.
Than the sea, His mercy is unfailing, His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise, let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. My refuge, You are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. Be still. My hands to believe again. let faith arise.
shattered words and empty thoughts seem to pour from my heart. I've never felt so torn before. Seems I don't know where to start, but it's now that I feel you breathe for like rain from every fingertip, washing away my pain. I still believe in your
dance for you forever.